Welcome everyone to another episode of Classroom to Staffroom, where we talk all things teaching. I'm joined by my co-host Jodie Epier.
How are we all?
I'm Miles O'Kane, and we look forward to taking you all along for the ride. My man, week 9 now. Assessments done. Reporting done for semester 1. Holidays a week away. Talk me through what's going through the mind.
Oh, I think what it is just making sure you maintain, I think, for me anyway. Keep the kids working, keep them working, keep them occupied, keep them focused.
Yep.
At the same time, I also have a bit of a conversation with the whole class about their efforts, what they're going to get from putting in the effort. So it's that I'll just trying to keep their minds occupied to the point of not giving up or not stopping or whatever else. At the same time, I told my year 9s, you've got an assessment coming up next week. They go, what? I said,
How dare you, Miss Epier?
I said, look, I'm not going to be that cruel, though. I'm not going to give it to you last session on a Friday.
We're going to do it now.
I said, I won't let you know, because some of you get a little bit anxiety leading into it. So I said, look, there'll be an assessment. We're going to have a look at something. But I think it's just going to be a mock one.
It's a tough time for teaching, isn't it? Yeah. It is. It's still that two, especially week 7, week 8, yeah. I find. You're just pressure's on. You got your assessments, last assessment's done, last assessment's marked up. Comments done for all your classes, comments to you checked by different people. Like, it's a very tight timeline. But I feel myself relief now.
Yep.
So although, you know, we're onto semester 2 content, you can kind of dial down the intensity a little bit in the classrooms and kind of, not coast, but wind down heading into the mid-year break, which is nice.
Yes, absolutely.
So on that, highlights and lowlights?
Today, even like I gave my year 7s a bit of a reward in a sense, just for the great effort that a lot of them have put in. I think around about 80% of them done extremely well. And just to let them know, like in last session today, we had a bit of fun. You could hear kids laughing. And I watched this one kid who was just fully in laughter, just enjoying being around the mates, having a bit of a fun, whatever we're doing. And I thought to myself, this is what education is also about too. Kids learning how to have fun with each other in a safe way, knowing that they can enjoy each other's company without being ridiculed or being put down or whichever. So this one kid that actually stood out for me today, he actually was the highlight of today. He just his laughter filled the room. He was just so, from a kid that sort of struggles here and there, to see a kid really go like, wow, this was amazing. He had a great end to the day, let's say.
Yep.
So hopefully that'll go home with him. He'll talk to mum and dad about how he really enjoyed what he enjoyed. And it's a contrast to what it was like for him previous weeks that he's going through a lot of things. So that was on the highlight.
So again, it's that holistic approach. And it's nice to see it's not just a curriculum at times, but you're building the whole student up.
Yeah.
My one is, so through that 2 weeks of intensity now, that it can go sort of wind down a bit going into holidays.
Mm.
And then mid-year, man, like it has gone fast. So that's always my low light, how fast it's gone around. You kind of sit there and go, hold on, like you almost start planning for next year now. Yeah. You're like, whoa, that's gone way too fast. All right, the question is going to be, live anywhere in the world apart from Australia and New Zealand. Where do you live and why?
To be honest, there's always been one place, and I'm not saying this because I know who you are, but I've always, every time I've spoken to these people, bro, when we're on holiday or whatever else, I always wanted to go and check out Ireland, bro.
Crazy, mate. They're madness. Absolutely crazy. No, and I say that for our listeners because my whole family's Irish. I was born here and obviously family's from Ireland. It's an incredible place, man. It's incredible. And I think it's fantastic. Been there 4 or 5 times now. Check it out, man. Some of the most beautiful landscape you see.
Yeah.
Friendliest people. A little bit crazy. The thin line between genius and madness, my man. So you never know with the Irish. But it's a very impressive place, man. I think I was last there 2015. They're good people, man. Like, they're very humorous. Like to partake in the festivities of the land as well, which they're known for. But all in good fun, normally.
I met these, the wife and I were on holiday. We met up with these couple of ladies from Ireland.
Mm.
And they were selling it, bro, like it was like the best place in the world. And I'm like, oh, you know, fresh off the plane, sort of having a yarn. And I was thinking, nah, come on, can't beat. And they were saying, oh, it's very similar to New Zealand, like the green landscapes and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, oh, yeah, fair enough. So, yeah, maybe Ireland might be the place that I want to go and check out, bro. Just Ireland and Scotland for some reason.
Scotland.
I see, bro, I don't know, because I don't know who speaks faster. Because the Irish can speak fast, bro, but then even the Scots, they speak, different.
When I was travelling through Europe, the Glaswegians in soccer, the people from Glasgow can speak quite quickly and had a bit of reputation for being quite hard men. We're in Barcelona, me and my Irish cousin, and the Ramblers, the famous stretch of place there in Barcelona in Spain, And I were out the day and came back, because I was staying on the Ramblers. They had a European Union game. It was Barcelona versus Glasgow, and it was like Glasgow had invaded Spain, man. There was all Barcelona flags up everywhere, big Scottish guys. But that, and obviously, so that's the day. The night we're out, we didn't go to the game. The night we're out having a few drinks, and all the Glaswegians had been on the drink for a while. I remember one guy, man, just bailed me up. Very intense eyes to him, and just bailed me up with this conversation. It went for like 10 minutes. I didn't understand a word he said. The only thing I got was that he'd been to Perth, Western Australia, and he loved it. So anytime he'd stop and wait for my response, I'd just mention something about Perth and it'd send him off again. But it was like an awkward 10-minute conversation, man. But they, Scotland, again, another phenomenal place, incredible landscape. We had a cousin at the University of Edinburgh there, and she was staying there, and the Royal Mile, they call it. It's had this castle in the background. Look out a window each day, the castle there. Yeah, it's incredible. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating.
What about yourself? Where would you like to go?
Canada, I'm thinking. Canada. There used to be an exchange program back in the day where you could do Australian teachers
for
Canada, and you'd swap places for a year. And I looked into it a couple of years ago, and it seems to have disappeared for whatever reason. But I had Canada looked phenomenal. And I'd thought about it and forgotten about it. And then my wife's very much into House Hunter shows.
Oh, yes.
Whatever that show is. And then there's been a new one they've brought up recently, House Hunters Canada. It looks incredible, man.
Yeah.
Price is a little bit crazy still, but it looks impressive. So,
but you know, it snows over there, bro. Like, it's cold over there.
Yeah, and when it gets below 20 degrees, there'll be panic attacks, my man. But, you know, you persevere through this.
Yeah.
Build resilience. I am thinking, I'm going to say this statement to you, and then I'll explain the episode. You get 12 weeks holiday a year, and you work 9 to 3 p.m. How hard can it be? Settled, calm, nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I'd be fighting words. Look, I think this, as I said throughout this podcast, this statement used to drive me crazy when people from outside the profession of teaching would say that. And sometimes be tongue in cheek. Sometimes it would just be, you've got no idea.
That's right.
But I took offense to it, because I think teaching should be a very respected job.
Yep.
A good teacher. And people to say, and again, every job's very hard unless you walk in those shoes. That's metaphorically, right. You can't speak on that, I believe. But I think it's probably good that we sort of just a generic teaching day, we sort of go through and have a look at, talk about what we go through. Nice. Now, I mean, it's probably a hard one because there's so much that happens in teaching to sort of pin down any day. But I just plan this off as this is a generic template divided into certain sections. And then we'll just go back and forth and go from there. What do you reckon?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So I think the first section is we look at, so the morning of before arriving to school and then arriving to school before classes start. So sort of wake up time to getting to first class. So for me, up at 5 a.m. each morning, 5:30 in winter, shower, brush teeth, out doing breathing exercises for 10 minutes, do some meditation for 10 minutes, and then do some journaling for 10 minutes, which is my morning routine for 30 minutes. That sets me up, my mind, for the day. I think especially teaching is so emotional at times, it helps sort of control that for me personally, which is good. 6 a.m. into my morning project. That takes me to 7 a.m. 7 a.m., I'm off to get coffee, depending where I go. I'm at school by about 7:45 each day, that first hour. So 7:45, classes start at 8:50. That first hour is just getting my personal stuff done. So responding to emails, getting set up for the day, working my personal classes. I think for me, by doing that, I know my stuff is set up personally. So stuff in the department were to not go to plan, I don't need to stress about my classes to start with.
Yep.
That's the first section. What's your first section?
Ideally, bro, my first alarm goes off at 5, bro, but I push the stop button, bro, and probably get up at 5:30.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
Things have slightly changed in the sense over the last, let's say, a couple of months. So 5:30 up, get myself organized, have a shower. My other alarm is when I hear the neighbor's car start up. He leaves at 7 every morning.
He's an early riser, isn't he?
So once he's gone, bro, that's my indicator to go, look, and got long. So I've sort of timed it now. I can leave roughly between 7:10 and 7:15 to get to school around about 8, depending on the flow of traffic.
No coffee?
Nah.
Yep, he doesn't need coffee. He's a natural wake-upper.
Yeah, just have a cup of tea, just chill.
You natural spark, you.
Bro, the other morning, bro, as you know, I made scones, bro. I just got up with this inkling to make
that scones. Was impressive. That was, I'm actually, the competitive streak came out of me. I was like, I need to make something now and bake it as well. We'll turn into a bake-off. Yeah. They were good, man. They smelled good as well.
So I try and get out of the house at the earliest 7, get out of home at the latest at 7:15.
Yep.
It takes me about half an hour on a good day, 40 minutes, 45 on it, when the traffic's not so good. Get to school roughly around 8 o'clock either side. Get out of my car, walk into school, and then I always visualize myself the way that I walk in is the way I should be walking out and more so.
Oh, that's a good one.
So yeah. I try to make it so that I walk in, if I'm walking in, you know, in a good mood, I try and leave exactly the same way. Get into school, go through my side door, turn on the lights, turn on the heater, what's winter
for now? Your classroom,
classroom, yep. Go through, put stuff away in the fridge if I've got something to eat, and then go into the office, and that's where I think you're usually there when I get in there and just start my morning up to there. So, but before school starts, though, if I need stuff to get ready, I'll go and get all the things ready, but I'm usually not heavily reliant on photocopying work, because there's so many textbooks.
That photocopier can come in death zone in the morning. There are so many people there.
Absolutely. You just got to try and get in there where you can. You
could choose your time, which is that timetabling it. 10-minute slots.
Yeah, mate. Well, look, it's nuts. It comes down to who's going to get in there first, bro.
And well, you do. It's interesting because I see people coming to the office, they're like staggered. Yeah. It's almost like it just works for people getting their photocopying time. Oh, that's right.
And then you got some clever ones who actually send their whole photocopying through via their computer so they don't have to actually push the numbers in.
Yeah.
They just send it through all and printing out
stapled booklets. Sneaky, sneaky. Yeah, I'm quite basic with photocopy. I just rock up with my sheets.
So that's right. I'm not doing that. And then we do the quick catch up with whoever's in the office, yourself and a couple of the other colleagues.
Yep.
Just to see how things are going.
Have a morning brief.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. Have you always been a morning person?
I'm more of a night person, but yeah, I'll call myself both because I go to sleep late but also wake up early. And I think if anything, though, I look forward to Saturdays because that's the only really day I can actually sleep in if I want.
Yeah. What time do you go to sleep at normally?
Oh, on average, bro, throughout the last, let's say, 2 months, between 10:30 and 11. Oh,
okay. So you're getting 6 hours sleep a night?
Yeah.
You all right with that?
Yeah, not bad.
And then what do you get on the weekend?
Well, Saturday, I can get up any time.
Yep.
But on Sunday, bro, if we're on serving at church, we're up again at 6 o'clock, getting ready to get to church by 7:20, serving throughout the day. So Saturday's my day, bro. Saturday's the day I look forward to in the sense that getting up later, take the dogs for a walk, breakfast, whatever else.
Yeah, I think it's nice to do the same as well. So I wake up 5:30 every weekday.
Mm.
I sleep in Saturday. I'd sleep into like an 8 on Saturday. I was almost getting like a roll-on effect.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was sort of catching up with the week. So I didn't know whether it is to just wake up the same time every day or keep going. I found it's only the last sort of 5 or 6 years I've become a morning person. So much better. If I don't get my morning session done, I'm just throwing behind for the rest. And it feels like I'm just in reaction mode for the rest of the day.
Mm.
Whereas I get sorted out in the morning, it really sets me up for a productive day.
Absolutely.
Which is good. Okay, so section 2, so now classes have started, so we'll go period 1 to lunchtime.
Mm.
So morning classes for me, usually that's, I find students are more focused in the morning, so I can get the more of the direct instruction lessons out, the more content-orientated lessons, and I'm probably more of a driving force, meaning that I'm sort of more on the students to sort of be focused and get the amount of work done. Compared to like a final session in the day where it's a bit, my goals and objectives for learning wouldn't be as high. Expectations wouldn't be as high, I guess. Recess. So I'm very much do everything at work these days. So I try to, if there's no one, if there's people in the office, we'll try to use that for a break to unwind a bit from the morning classes.
Yep.
If there's no one, I'll just get through work I need to get done. So that way I'm not taking anything home with me.
Mm.
Afternoon classes. Still, so probably try to make it more game orientated. And then lunchtime, I just usually, by the time I get to lunchtime, I've crashed usually. So I just do my best sort of just maintain and then sort of unwind a little bit more that time at school.
My morning classes are pretty much, the objectives go up on the board and I have 2 to 3 goals for the kids to hit. I also get them to understand why we're going back over some goals. Sometimes we have to go back over the same goal again. It depends on how well they, like I always give my kids open book tests or open book sort of like quizzes just to recall what they can recall. put things up on the board and make them think about what was it we done in previous sessions. So it's all about just trying to get back. The majority of my work is done out of textbooks, so the photocopying, I'll maybe do a worksheet that may enhance whatever we're learning, but the majority of the work I'm taking straight out of the textbooks with our kids. And it's almost teaching the kids how to use a textbook, because they sit there waiting. They wait there and they go, oh, so I've finished. I said, oh, okay, so what are you going to do? And they go,
You don't question four. What about question six?
Yeah.
So, have you done that? Was it question seven?
I said, no matter what, you're going to get them anyway, so you might as well carry on to the next one.
Get to those problem-solving questions. Draw those diagrams.
So a lot of textbook work, and I do give the odd worksheet here and there, but not a lot.
Yep.
So if that's my morning classes, same with you.
Yep.
A lot more instruction, a lot more learning, a lot more focused learning on how to break down steps, how to find the steps to get the answers. I watched the kid today. We went through the looking at circumference. So we wrote the circumference formula up on the board, got them to write the notes about all of circumference that I put on the board, broke it right down. What's the value of pi? What's the radius? So we talked about that stuff. And I said, right, don't skip a step. Every step is, let's say one question is worth 3 points. First point you're going to get is you're going to get a mark if you do the formula. Then you're going to get a mark if you show the working. Then you're going to get a mark if your answer is correct. Each of them is worth 3. I watched one kid, he finished questions 5, questions 6 and 7. And I had a look at his book work and I said, look, see what you've done. He goes, oh yeah. I said, your answers are great. But where's the rest of your marks? He goes, kid, what do you mean? So I said, well, you've only got one mark of each of these because you didn't do all your showing when you're working. I said, you know, the cool thing's going to happen. You're going to go back and do them all again.
Yeah.
Really, sir? I said, yep.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to shortcut here. Yes, we will get to that later on, but right now I need to see the process, and I don't care if we're writing it a million times, you're going to get to the point where you're going to see it so often, automatically you're going to go, oh, I have to write this first. So I got this one kid, he got it done, which was good.
How do you attack dot time? So dot time, for our non-teaching listeners, duties other than teaching. I don't know what the thing is. Yeah, so 2 T's. How do you approach it?
Right, if I got things to do, and there are others in the office, I'll try not to sit there.
Yep.
I'll probably go into a room or a room that's vacant.
Yep.
And if I've got marking to do or whatever else, planning to get ready, I'll go and do that.
That office conversation can catch fire.
Yeah.
I'm just stuck in the office like that. Like, I'll be in there, I'm stuck in there like an hour just talking.
Or if I've got nothing to do, bro, and whoever's in the office, I'll have a yarn.
Yeah.
And
always stuff to do, Miss Effia. Always.
One of these colleagues will go to me, oh, you always talk to me. I said, you don't have to have this conversation with me, but you don't even have to sit there. So, yeah, if I've got things to do in my dot, I'll actually do that too. Like even today, mark some work that's not going to go into reporting to parents this term. It'll go into next semester.
Already in front. Good work.
If I can get in front, I'm happy.
How about your energy levels throughout the day? By lunchtime, I crash. So I'm going to change stuff around. If I've got that last period not teaching to be more cognitive, easy tasks, I guess. Are you good? You pretty consistent throughout the day?
Consistent, bro.
Yeah.
I think my crash time is when I get home.
Okay.
But I try not to now.
Yeah.
At this point in time, the wife even makes that quite clear that, you know, you come home, you give all your time to the kids. I said, fair enough. I understand what you're saying. So I try and come home and go hard, just as hard as when I'm at work, and go home and try and do the same thing. Right up until my head hits the pillow, bro. Once I'm on the pillow, boom.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
Talk to me tomorrow. But that's me, bro. I think...
Do you have dreams of teaching?
Nah, brother.
Nah, just out. Do you have dreams? Do you remember your dreams?
Yeah, I
dream,
bro.
Are vivid? Dreams?
I've not dreamt of teaching yet, bro. No.
Just not the conscious.
Are you dreaming of teaching?
I do sometimes, but like my dreams are always nuts, man. So like it never makes sense, and they keep changing all the time. Uh-huh. So I can't remember them. But I've had teaching. And more normally, like I'm teaching, I forget what I'm teaching, and I've just got 30 kids staring at me. Oh, this is going to be a long lesson. They're normally not positive. It's always like worst case scenario.
Yeah. So that's me up to lunch, bro. I pretty much try and make sure that the kids know what they're doing, making sure the kids are on task, making sure everything's ready to go. And then every time, bro, at the end of every class, all my kids know they're always going to get exit questions, always. And I'll try and choose the kid that may not be the, let's say, the brightest in the class. And you set the question up so that they can be successful, bro. And when you say it and you ask that kid, so what's the answer? And they say it, everybody gets that little fist pump, bro, even all the other kids.
Yeah, it's a bonding moment, isn't it?
You've got it, yeah. So, yeah, exit questions are powerful.
Yep. So, I had a teacher once tell me their personal, they didn't believe, and I'd imagine you believe it as well. I don't think there's such a thing as a a dumb or a not bright kid, but I think there's all kids can reach a potential.
Absolutely.
And I noticed that. And a lot of it is, I guess, students that put these self-limitations on themselves. Yeah. I'm like, once they see they can overcome it, and yes, it takes time, there's breakthrough success, yep, which I, and I've got some students like this at the moment. I'm like, if once you, and you're right, you're giving them a task that they can challenge but succeed in, it builds that momentum, yep, for them, which I think is very powerful stuff.
That, what you just said, you're absolutely right. There are no kids that aren't bright enough, bro. They actually are. They just lack confidence sometimes.
Yep.
Like, at the moment, my kids are playing a shootout, and I've got a long table down the middle of my desk.
Yep.
And I said, whoever you're facing across the table, that's who you're shooting out against, and that's just calling, like, times tables, you know. So,
yep,
first they call a times table, whatever else. And it's so neat to see how quick they're trying to win the point, bro. And
like, yep,
and you can see the little fist pumps going on with the kids who get that little point against a kid that might be really, really sharp at their time stage.
Yep.
And all I say to all my kids is like, any hesitation, you're shot. You're out of the game. See you later.
Make the move. Make the move. All right, final section. So then school's done. Final siren goes and after school. So for me, these days, I'll make sure I'm very militant with this. So if bell's done by 3, roughly, I'm out on the school by 3:30 because I just got them. Otherwise, I think teaching, and I've been there over previous years, where you can get stuck there and you're just doing stuff for the, yep, sake of doing stuff at times. Yep. It's not very productive. And I think probably most teachers go through that at one point in their career, whereas these days I try to focus more on just trying to be as effective as possible with my time. There is times I can be there later in the afternoon, but I try to, for my own personal well-being, to the stuff now that I just, I'm not going to get done. Before I'd have to get everything done, now I'm like, well, it's just stuff I'm just not going to get done, and I roll that over to the, yep, next day.
Absolutely.
And it's back to, like I've said previously, once I leave the campus, I'm in the car park, I'm not thinking about school. Now that's, yep, a discipline as well. There's still, well, stuff will come up, but I'm not checking emails. I'm, yep, not actively, consciously responding to thoughts in my head about school, just noticing they're there and going beyond. So I'm home by about 4 these days. I have about an hour's rest and then off to whatever the training is for that day. Get home by about 8 and then do dinner. I'm in bed by 9:30, man. I need my 7 hours sleep. If I don't get 7 hours sleep, it does mess me up, man. Yeah. I can't do the 6 hours. I was doing the 6 hours a year or two ago, and I was getting those wild thoughts during the day. Like, no, I need a bit more rest for this.
3 p.m. prior to the siren, no matter how old the kids both, year 7s to year 11, it doesn't matter, I always leave my room tidier than when I got it.
Yeah.
So in the sense, so I make my kids pick up the rubbish, bro, and I get them to pick up every little bit. So I'll quickly scan to see how much, if there is any rubbish on the ground. And I'll just say to all the kids, all right, first to pick up 5, last person picking up 10.
Yeah. Hey,
boom, light worker ants, bro, off they go. I said, show me before you put it in the bin. One kid goes, oh, so I already put it. Well, you have to get another 5. So they all now
know. That's one piece cut up 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, exactly.
They're creative, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're very creative students these days.
But I'm very, room proud in the sense of making sure that the room's kept tidy when I leave.
Yeah.
And I come in. So I make sure the desks are straight, the tables are straight, the chairs are pushed in, things are packed away properly.
Yeah.
Rubbish, as much rubbish as you can, get off the floor if there's any. So once that's done, bro, exit questions on the kids. Sometimes I get the kids to high five 3, 4, 5 other people before leaving, just let them go on a bit of a high. Finish up, bro, go back into the office, grab my stuff, pack my stuff away. And as you said, I agree with you. Sometimes you can just sit around and do things that are not productive at all, and you just sort of waste time. So
time can get away from, yeah, you. Yep.
I'm out as between 4:15 and say 4:30 at the latest, depends.
Yep.
Get into the car park, drive on home, taking me about, get home around about 4:15, let's say 4:20. My wife and I will cook dinner, get ourselves ready for, have our dinner.
When you're walking your dogs, do you go into the dog walker's pack, or do you walk around the outside?
Oh, a bit of both, right? If I'm just walking my girl, who's the youngest, she enjoys the interaction with other dogs. But if I'm walking both of my dogs, my older boy, he's one of those, just an old grumpy man, bro. just doesn't like other dogs
around. Those dog walking groups are some of the most social people I've met in my life, man. Yeah, so we got two little fluffy guys. And if our oldest one's the same, like they both just want to be loved by everyone.
Yeah.
So they'll run in there and just want cuddles. But then the other one gets real grumpy and starts wrestling everyone. And you're like, dude, you're tiny. But everyone wants to talk to you, which is great.
Yeah.
But I kind of do the same as well. Like, I get them in there for the social bit,
yeah,
and then just do the big laps on the outside.
Yeah.
But some people, man, just sit there and just talk all day.
Oh,
and I learn so much.
I remember I had my dogs in at the park one day, and there was this one lady there who obviously and issues with the other dog owners. And I was new to just coming down to the park.
Bro. The politics, the park politics.
She was trying to get
sit
me,
back and see what's going to happen. Don't get involved, really.
She was trying to win my vote, bro. Oh,
petitioning hard.
I'm like, ooh. Yeah, I'll take my dogs, let them off the lead, bro. Let them do their thing. But one big thing that I do see is that I don't know how some dog owners, bro, are happy just to leave their dogs do their business.
Can't be doing that. I got to pick up after your dogs. Right, respect the park. Right. Yeah. Do you ever call people out on that?
I haven't.
Like, oh, just let you know.
Yeah. I haven't, bro.
Get over there. And I'm blacklisted for it. I'm like, I'm helping the park out. I'm doing the right thing right now.
Yeah. Once I've done the dogs, had our dinner, tied up, bro. Me and my youngest daughter, bro. Wow. We have this, not banter, but also arguing, bro. She, out of all my three children, she is the one that'll just keep fighting right to the very death, bro.
It's always the youngest, isn't it?
Oh, always the youngest. The other two, bro, they won't even go near it. They won't really say anything at all. But this young one, oh, man, she's telling us off. Bro, the other day, I think the other session, we're talking about mashed potatoes. And she reckons she can out-mashed potato me, bro. And I said, I was making mashed potatoes before you was even a twinkle in anyone's eye. And she was telling me, but she was laying down the law. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. So I have good banter with my youngest, though, bro. Her and I get on like a house on fire, but we can't be in the same space, bro. We just sort of, she'll look at me and goes, what are you looking at? And I'm like, whoa.
Here we go, hey. Just keeping you on your toes.
Yeah.
So look, I think that there's very generic look at teaching. I mean, I think that day to day can be quite volatile with teaching between good and bad times. Yep. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to sort of look back and go, there's a fair bit happening in the teaching day, even a generic template day, there's still a fair bit going on. So I think we're coming towards the end. Parting wisdoms.
I think over the years, you tend to find what best suits. Don't get too comfortable all the time. I think being out of your comfort zone also helps now and again. Get to a point where you're comfortable, but then also stretch yourself a little bit more. You know, don't just settle for the status quo. Keep pushing. You know, it might be like right now, one thing that I'm trying to do it myself, bro, is I'm trying to, I want to learn a new language.
Yep.
And the new language, bro, is Hebrew. Bro, and I'm like, what? Oh, but that's one of my bucket list, bro. I'm going to try and have a crack.
You'll need Gaelic when you go to Ireland, my man.
Bro.
Bit by bit, hey? All the teachers out there, just make it through the next week and a half and just get to holidays and reflect on the stuff. Reflect on the good things you've been able to do last term and then get ready for the next term.
That's right.
All good?
Nice one.
Thank you all for listening and we look forward to the next episode.
Nice one.